When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt and the man with the best hands in the podcast business, OJ McDuffie. Juice, this is a big one today.
Oh, man, you have no idea, man. This our next guest, bro, is one of my favorites of all time, Big Seth, and I'm excited to have him on, man. This is going to be a fun one for sure.
Well, he's not just one of your favorites. He's an all-time fan favorite.
That's right.
Jim Crash Jensen dives into the fish tank. Crash, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling pretty good. Pretty good. Hi, everybody.
Hey, looking good too, man. Seth, you know me. I'm fired up, man. You know, but
Juice,
you know,
I wish I would have played with you.
Man, I was gonna say that too, man. If Crash and I were running a one by one with each other, man, you know how many big plays we could have made, Big Seth.
I mean, who's the ball gonna go to on third down, though?
Well, you know, we're gonna sit. We're gonna get out there right in front, and Dan's gonna pick a guy and let it fly, right, Crash?
That's right.
That's right.
Crash, get open.
That's right. Is that what he says?
That was the play in the huddle.
That was the play call.
Crash, get open.
Well, you know, since we're talking about Crash, let's just get right to that. How did Jim Jensen become Crash?
Oh, just running down a kickoff and knocking people's helmets off. And actually, there was one game where I ran down on a kickoff, a preseason game, and both of us hit each other. Well, I hit him, and both of our helmets went flying off. And we were watching film the next day, and Don Strzok said Crash. So
that's how I think.
I got it. Other people say it was some other way, but...
So are there? Is it like one of those things where there's a lot of different stories about how it came to be? But
there's two.
If you say Strzok,
yeah, there's two stories.
What's the other one?
I think it's John Madden.
I think Juice is going to stick with with the Strzok story. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we addressed that, but we're going to dial it back here for a second, because I not only want to understand how you became Crash, which we know now,
correct,
and again, going with Don Strzok, but you also became one of the most versatile players in NFL history. So let's go all the way back to Boston University. You become the starting quarterback your junior season, and you lead the team to a 17-3-1 mark over two seasons. Like, I mean, have a hell of a career as a quarterback there. You're the team MVP. You're an all-conference performer. But we start to get a little glimpse of what is to become, because, like, you're in as a quarterback, but if you guys don't convert a third down and it's time to punt, you're putting another jersey on and you're the long snapper as well?
I had to do that in one game against Louisville because our long snapper got hurt. So I had to put on a lineman's jersey and snap the ball. And then that's how I got on the special teams. I was backup long snapper with the Dolphins, backup punter, played a lot of different positions, as you guys know. And it was fun. It kept it interesting and it kept me alert. At Boston University, we threw the ball maybe 11, 12 times a game. And most of our offense was tossed to the tailback, and I would go lead block for the tailback.
After the toss.
I love it.
When I got to the Dolphins, I had to learn how to read defenses, which I never had to do in Boston. So it was pretty difficult. Coach Shula called me a lot of different names.
So he didn't give you crash. Because he gave you. Right.
I got in that playbook so hard, man. I had to know what the offense was doing, what the defense is doing. And it was really hard for me. And Coach Shula, he did call me a lot of different names. And I was about to give it up. I called my dad. I said, Dad, I can't do this anymore. Coach is on me. He said, I'll just stick with it. You'll be all right. And I did, and it worked out pretty good.
How far into your career? Was that like your rookie season that you called your dad, or yep. At what point?
Yep. And I remember in the first practice, I was playing quarterback. I completed a pass. I went back behind the huddle. Next group was up, and I got on a knee. And Coach Shula gives me the thumbs up like this. And I said, well, thanks, Coach. He said, no, get the fuck up.
That's so good. That's really good. So let's go back a little bit. You know, after those 2 years of record-setting years at BU, you get invited to the Senior Bowl. And one of the wide receivers you have on the squad is this skinny kid out of Dartmouth named David Shula. And from what we understand, Big Seth, I mean, there was a play during the game between you and David that really got you noticed by the Miami Dolphins. You remember that?
The Senior Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you that story.
We did a little research.
We can't reveal our sources now. Well,
yeah, I was in the Senior Bowl. It was practice, and I threw the ball to Dave, and it was a little too high. And he went up for it. And I think it was EJ Jr. came and hit him as he was in the air. And as soon as David went down, I saw Don Shula right on the sideline. I said, there's no way the Dolphins are drafting me. No way.
Get his kid blasted.
I'm sorry? Yeah.
I said, you got his kid blasted. Yeah, you might think that you're like, cross that team off. Oh, I love
it
that.
It was actually Bill Arnsparger that came up to Boston University, worked me out, which was kind of weird because he was a defense coordinator. And I guess he's the one that told Coach Shula to draft me. So I got drafted in the 11th round. They drafted another quarterback in the 4th round, Brad Wright from New Mexico. So I didn't think I'd ever be able to make the team, and I just asked Coach if I could play goal line receiver. That was the first time I asked him if I could play goal line receiver. So Dan would throw the fade, and usually it was pretty successful. Kind of like a Rondé Gadsden.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So before we get to that point, so again, going back, 11th round draft choice, which is, again, crazy, right? Seven rounds now. There were 12 rounds at that point in time. You get drafted in the 11th round, and you walk into a quarterback room, and so there's David Woodley, who had just had a pretty impressive rookie season, and Don Strock. Like, what was it like? I'm assuming at that point, you're trying to make the team as a quarterback, right?
We also had Brad Wright in there, who was the fourth round draft pick, and we had Guy Benjamin. So there were 5 quarterbacks, and they were only keeping 3 of them. So
yeah,
it was pretty crazy. I was surprised I made the team.
Right, but you did, right? So you made it, and so then you're in there, and you're watching Woodley. Kind of, he's learning as he goes. He's only in his second year. Obviously, Don Strock. We know. I mean, he was probably a coach in the locker room in a lot of ways. So what was that like for you? And then at what point? You said that you asked to play goal line receiver. At what point did you start to assume other duties? When did special teams come into play for a guy who's in the quarterback room?
Well, when I thought that I wasn't going to make it as a quarterback, I asked the coach if I could play other positions. I asked him if I could run down on kickoffs. So I actually never missed a kickoff return, never missed a punt return. And because I could play those different positions, it was easier for Coach Shula to keep a player who could play 5 or 6 different positions rather than keeping 5 or 6 players that played one position. So kind of made
Sorry about that, Jim. So you're saying that you never missed a kickoff, never missed any of those returns from your rookie year?
I never missed a practice.
Wow. Especially his practices, Crass. His practices were no joke, right?
The only practice I missed was when I was holding out for more money. And
I'm sure he loved that. I'm sure Coach really was excited about those holdouts.
No, you know, that's like
good, man. So we're joking a lot about Coach and being impressed by what you were doing. But the truth is, I mean, you became one of his favorite players of all time. And at least it seemed that way from our perspective, Big
right.
Seth. You know, how would you describe your relationship with Coach? And you know, I know you have a couple more funny stories about him. But how would you describe your relationship with Coach?
He actually became my mentor, you know, like my second father, because after the first year, you know, he started liking me a little bit more. He didn't have to give the thumbs up anymore because I never got on me.
Thumbs up.
But we had a great relationship, and I missed the guy, and he was the best coach ever in the league, ever, in my opinion. But I got a chance. I was blessed to play with so many great players, Marino, Woodley, Tony Nathan, all the linemen, Dwight Stevenson, John Geisler, Ed Newman. On the defense, you had the Blues Brothers. What were they called?
Yeah, the Bruce Brothers.
Bruce Brothers.
Right? Yeah, they were the Killer Bees, but Glenn and Lyle were the Bruce Brothers.
Killer Bees as well. So I was really blessed to have so much talent around me, you know.
You did, and you obviously added to that. But, you know, those first 3 years, I didn't realize that you covered every kick. I was wondering how that transition happened from special teams to, you know. But it sounds like the entire time – you're a third string quarterback, but you're also a key special teams performer. But then in 1983, the Dolphins, as we know, famously draft this cocky quarterback out of Pitt, Danny Marino. And I read that you were sitting there and you're like, look, they're only going to keep three quarterbacks. I'm done. You said you almost had like a sick feeling in your stomach when you found out they drafted Marino.
I did. And that's a natural thing because Dan was so great. But the special teams helped, and watching Tony Nathan play that third down fullback position, I learned a lot from Tony Nathan, and I learned a lot from Joe Rose. I learned a lot from Bruce Hardy. I played tight end as well. So Dan Johnson was my roommate, and it was just a lot of hard work and a lot of studying, man. Definitely a lot of studying.
And you weren't the odd man out in '83. They actually. You know, Woodley was let go or was moved. And then, so you're still the number three quarterback in Danny's rookie year. And then 84, you start as the third quarterback, but then they really start to work into the offense at that point. Is that when you ask Coach, hey, can I start to play goal line receiver? Is that when that conversation took place? Or like, when did the transition?
That. Because in the when Dan first came in, I started the game. It was against the Redskins in Washington.
Right.
And I actually had 5 catches as a wide receiver. And 2 of them were touchdowns.
Nice.
It's a pretty good day.
Yeah.
We feel it. And then, like, I don't know what happened, but, like, when we got to the playoffs, I didn't play at all. But I played the first game, caught 2 touchdowns. But I'm not sure why Coach Shula didn't let me play offense. Big question mark in my mind.
That is a little strange. And you talk about Coach Shula. I want to go back to something when Juice was talking about the Senior Bowl and that whole experience with David Shula in the past. David Shula becomes your position coach, right? You move from quarterback to, you know, a million positions.
Right.
But you are a pass catcher. He's the receiver's coach. Was that a good thing? Was that a strange thing?
Yeah, it was
thing?
A good thing. Dave was a great guy, great coach, and he helped me a lot. And he forgave me for that pass.
It worked out for both you guys. He found his calling in coaching, and you ended up with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I was glad he forgave me. But Dave was great. I loved playing with him, and I loved his coaching style. And, you know, we had a lot of great coaches, too.
Yeah,
Gary Stevens was offensive coordinator for a while.
My man, Gary.
You know, throwing back names, gosh. Alvadotti was our defensive coach.
Yeah.
You know, I was really, really blessed to play 12 years. And there's only one thing I would change is winning one of those Super Bowls that we were in.
Damn right.
You're not alone in that.
I have two AFC championship rings.
Do you still have them?
I still have them, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think I would sell them?
Well, give them away. Sometimes you give them away, you know, to family members.
I hear all kinds of crazy stories. Some people don't want the championship ring. Some people, you know, look, we're friends with Joe Rose. I think anything's for sale, you know. So, but you never really know. But I was just curious.
Is Joe still doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Still doing it. Yeah, still calling. He calls the games. He's doing his morning radio every day.
How about Seffy?
They're still doing it.
Yep. Well, they're like 17. I think they're on 17.
Is it 17 together?
Yeah.
Man.
Something like that. It's been a while.
Juice, we got to find out a way we can get on another cruise with the fans.
Absolutely.
I told you this hat was from two of the fans on the cruise ship, Patsy and Kimberly. And hopefully they'll see the show so they can see that I still wear the hat. That was so much fun.
Can you book
a ship? I love that picture with you and the dolphin.
Oh, my God. Me kissing the dolphin or the one hugging me? I was scared as hell, man. Those things are humongous, bro.
Wait, you were scared of a dolphin?
Damn right I was. I'm afraid of the ocean, man. Guess why I don't get in the ocean, man? Everything's too big in that thing, bro.
That's funny.
Crash, here you are, Crash, and you're thinking about, you know, the addition of Dan Marino is probably going to be like, it's going to cost your job. And you know, we know that offense itself, you talked about all the things you did on that offense. And the offense had no rhyme or reason, right? It's like all memorization, like 84, 85, 86, 87, 92. I mean, really, and if you played fullback, tight end, X, Z, you had to just memorize what those guys did and stuff, right?
Yeah. And it helped being a quarterback, you know?
Right.
Because my first year, I had to learn everything, every position on offense and defense.
Right.
So that helped a lot. But I remember we were in 1987, we were playing Buffalo. And Darrell Talley was responsible to cover me, and sometimes Shane Conlon. But I remember Darrell Talley came in, and I had to check and go. If he blitzed, I had to block him. And sometimes, you know, you cut him. Sometimes you fake like you're going to cut him and stay up. But I cut him that time, and Darrell Talley started complaining, saying, "Crash, quit your cutting. And I looked at, they had Bruce Smith, they had Shane Conlon, they had Darrell Talley, and Cornelius Bennett. And I looked at each one of them, went, I'll cut you. And I heard Marino laughing his ass off behind me, back in the huddle. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, man.
Let him know.
You know how the adrenaline is, Juice?
Oh, yeah. No matter what. I mean, I was trying to cut everybody too, man, but because I was small, though, you know.
But were you going to point it out and tell him?
Not those big guys. I was not. Grass was tougher than me, man. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, speaking of Danny, you know, coming in as quarterback, that's when you started moving into these different positions. But, hell, man, you became one of his favorite targets at one point, man. 58 catches in 88, 61 in 89. I mean, you're playing everything that we talked about. You and Dan had great chemistry, man. How'd that develop as well?
Well, you know, both from Pennsylvania.
I feel that part.
We liked each other. He was great. I used to watch Dan in slow motion when he came in. And it was like regular speed, you know. And it was crazy. I remember when we had weigh-in every Thursday. And we used to go out to DT Riots after weigh-in. And I remember Dan telling me that he just signed his first $1 million contract. And I said, wow, that's amazing. But think about it nowadays.
Right.
Yeah. The money they make nowadays. Whew.
Right. Dan being the $40 million club, right?
Dan should have got paid a lot more than $1 million.
Yeah. He's making up for it now. He's making up for it now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, Ralph is out there hustling for him.
He's helping Tua, right?
Yeah, he's here. He does his stuff with the team. He helps Tom Garfinkel, and he's still out there. There's no greater pitch man. I don't think there's a greater pitch man on the planet.
I talked to him probably 2 months ago, and I think he was in a bar, and he was telling me how much fun he had playing with me. It was pretty cool.
That is awesome. Well,
you know, they get that Saturday night. They go up, you know, as a group, they go to restaurants and, you know, before the games, you know. So Danny's always hanging with that crew, him and Nat Moore. I think Dupe goes every once in a while. And, of course, I think Tom Garfinkel and those guys go and have a nice meal. And
you didn't get the invite?
I never get the invite, man. I didn't make it in that
I think
that
you
club,
and Crash but, need to go to the next one if they want to really tell some stories.
Juice, I remember another time I had a press conference and I was talking to the media. We were getting ready to play the Jets. And I said, I hate everything about New York. And I shouldn't have said that. I meant to say I hate everything about the New York Jets.
Right.
But I said I hate everything about New York. And I was in Shula's office right after that press conference.
I bet.
You can imagine what you're saying.
I was in there once, Crash. I was in his office once.
Once after, only?
Yeah, man. It was after a birthday party somebody threw for me on a Thursday night. And I knew the party was going on. It was down the Grove. And that Friday morning, I don't know how he found out, but that Friday morning he had me in his office like, "And we got a big game on Sunday. You're out there partying all night." You know what I mean? I'm like, "Coach, I didn't know they were throwing this party. It was a surprise." I knew it wasn't a surprise. Sorry, Coach. it wasn't a surprise, but man, that was the only time. I vowed never to go back in there, bro. No matter what.
No, I was in there a couple times.
Just a couple, huh?
Just a couple.
I love it. Oh, that is too good. Well, speaking of going out and speaking of being favorites, the two of you guys are all-time fan favorites. And I think it's because both of you guys were known for enjoying South Florida to its fullest. Both of you guys were accessible to the fans. It wasn't like you were up on some pedestal. I mean, you both have similar reputations that way. And I have heard, and I kind of want to verify this story, that there was one night that you were in an establishment in Fort Lauderdale and a disagreement happened. And it took place, and it was a disagreement between you and these other two gentlemen. And it turns out these other two gentlemen were wrestling superstars, the Road Warriors. Is this a true story? Did you get into it with the Road Warriors at a Fort Lauderdale bar?
I did.
What happened?
The Road Warriors were actually my roommate, Dan Johnson's friends. And, you know, in a bar, you start drinking. They were drinking. Everybody was drinking. So, you know, you learn after that to slow down on your drinking. There was another story. When I first got my Super Bowl ring, I was with Doug Betters, Baumhauer, and I just got my Super Bowl ring, and some guy was harassing us. And I don't know if I should tell people this, but
it's that your limitations over, bro. You can say whatever you want now.
Well, anyway, I got a little pissed off, and I punched a guy. And it said Super Bowl 17 right on his cheek. And I had my ring on. Yeah, right there.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's like they had that scene in Ace Ventura. Yeah, they borrowed that from that story, sure, probably.
You guys remember Scott Schwades?
Of course.
Yeah. I remember we were out in San Diego, and it was the day before practice, kind of like half speed, and just a mental practice, of course. And Schwades ran an 18-yard square in, and before he got his head around, Marino hit him right in the helmet. And the ball went flying up in the air, almost knocked him over. And Scott comes back to the huddle. He says, "You got to admit, it was right on the money." And Marino, the whole huddle fell down on the ground. And Marino called him 7-up. Never will.
Oh, man.
Danny had lots of lines, huh?
We just had Danny on the show, and we talked about those lines. He was almost he was kind of torn between being impressed with himself by those lines and a little bit embarrassed that he said some of those things.
Yeah. It was funny, though.
Yeah, I bet it was real funny.
For sure. So, Crash, we talked about, you know, you being drafted in the 11th round. You famously wore number 11 for the Dolphins, and apparently you said you wanted to play 11 seasons, but you ended up playing into your 12th season, your 12th year with the Dolphins. 11 and a quarter?
Yeah, 11 games,
Four games, so that gave you 12.
11 seasons, four games, so it gave me 12, yeah.
They gave you 12.
Three and a half.
That's right.
Three and a half considered a year. They made a big trade for Keith Jackson.
Oh, that's when, okay.
Coach Shula called me up, and I knew that they made the trade because it was on the news. And Coach called me up. He said, "Jim, I want you to come to the office." I said, "Coach, I'm not coming to the office. I know what you want." So he told me he had to let me go because they made the big free agency deal with Keith Jackson. And I remember standing on the picket line in 1987 fighting for free agency.
Right.
So I was like the first victim of it.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Think about that. Pretty crazy.
How about that? How about that? That's right, because Keith was the first NFL free agent.
Yeah.
And you're a casualty for something that you fought for.
Standing on the picket line.
How about that?
Yeah, but Crash wasn't finished.
Replacements. Though, remember the Replacements?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That was the year.
Man, oh, man. But you weren't finished, though, Crash. I mean, you weren't finished at all. You didn't hang up your pads and your cleats and retire, man. You actually ended up playing with the Miami Hooters as a player coach, right? And I think Don Strock was the head man, and A.J. Dewey and Lifford Hobley were on the staff. And
I started off playing two-way linebacker and receiver. And it's the first time I actually got hurt. So I asked I said, Stroker, I don't want to play football anymore. He said, oh, Jim, just play quarterback. I said, okay. So I played quarterback, but that was worse than playing linebacker receiver because defensive linemen, they have to play two ways, so they have to learn how to play offense. So I got hit more playing quarterback than I did playing receiver.
You would have been safer at receiver.
So Stroker's the reason you went and played, huh? You weren't going to play at all, huh?
Yeah, he's the reason.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. I mean, that had to be. I went to a lot of those games, Crash.
You went to Miami Hooters?
I went to a lot of those games, yeah.
I think I've never seen you there, yeah.
Well, you know, we didn't really know each other then. You know, at that point, we didn't know each other.
Danny came to a lot of them, too, because it was the Hooters.
Yes, right. Yeah. He was like part owner at that point, wasn't there? Something like the Hooters.
Maybe
not the team, but the Hooters around him. Him and Champ and Lags, they were real tight at that point.
Yeah. It was fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah, but in those two seasons, though, I mean, you obviously had a lot of fun. 3,200 yards, 51 touchdowns, 8 of them rushing. You even caught a touchdown as well, man. So you were doing the same thing for the Hooters squad that you were doing for the Dolphins.
Yeah, it was definitely a different game. We got Duper to come out for
– That's right.
How was Duper in an Arena League game?
He played like one game, and he said, I had enough of this shit.
What was that like? Because you have these guys that are just still trying to live out their dreams, probably have other jobs, right? They're, you know, Jay Feely, the kicker, was on the show before he broke into the NFL. I think he was like an investment banker, and he was kicking at night for the Florida Bobcats. Right. What was that like for you? You had played 12 seasons in the National Football League at the highest level, catching passes from Dan Marino in his epic 1984 season, and you're with these other guys that are probably driving trucks and doing other things. I mean, that had to be kind of a wild experience.
Well, now you have the UFL coming out,
right,
which gives guys opportunities to show themselves. And, you know, that's The Rock owns it, right? The Rock.
Right. They combine two.
XFL and USFL. Yeah. I'm not even sure which one's
which.
Combine
the World Football League and the XFL. So there's like eight teams.
Yeah. So the top four, I think, of each league.
You know, one thing the XFL did that I really liked was the kickoff. They put the return team on the 20, and they put the kickoff team 10 yards apart from the return team. And the kicker had to kick it within 20 to the goal line.
Right.
And then as soon as the kicker or the receiver catches the ball, then the guys 10 yards apart can go after each other.
I mean, a guy named Crash, of course you're going to like that rule. I like that. I feel like that rule was named for you.
Now in the NFL, there's no returns.
Can you imagine that? Imagine if that rule existed. I mean, that's part of how you made the team, from what you're telling us. You know, you're a quarterback who made the team because you could run down and knock the shit out of somebody on special teams, and that doesn't even exist anymore, or it's been minimized. Right.
Yeah, it's minimized.
Well, we got one last thing. We're going to let you go. I know you've got big plans the rest of today. I got one last thing for you, Crash. So we end every episode with our two-minute drill. Given the fact that you've played quarterback, tailback, fullback, tight end, and receiver, you know how to run a good two-minute drill. So Mike's got behind the camera here. He's got the two-minute clock up. We're going to hit you with a couple quick questions, just some fun stuff, and then we'll get you out of here. Sound good?
Yeah, one thing, Juice, did you guys ever do the one-minute drill with no timeouts?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was one of Shaw's big things, man. That was great practice right there.
It's so funny you say that, because when we had Danny on for the two-minute drill, we asked him if he wanted timeouts. He said, nah, I don't need no timeouts.
That's damn. Right.
That's great.
All right, let's get it rolling.
Clock has started. Here we go.
All right, Crash, here we go. We read that your mother worked at a Motown record factory, and as a kid, you would throw vinyl records around in the yard like Frisbees. What is your favorite Motown song, and did you break that record?
Oh, my favorite. I don't know. I didn't listen to any of them.
He was just breaking them in the yard.
We had a whole closet full of them. I had two older brothers, and we would just go after each other.
Oh, man. You wish you had some of those back now? I mean, some of those have got to be classy. Yeah.
I wish I had all of them back.
I know, that's right.
That's a great story. Okay, you were selected as a member of the Miami Dolphins' top 50 team of all time, and the Dolphins had this spectacular weekend to celebrate, you know, this special group of players. Who did you have the most fun with that weekend? Could it have been Dan Marino, or was it my partner here, OJ McDuffie?
I'd have to say Juice.
We had a blast, man.
You know, when I got that call from Nat, it's like I was in tears, you know, because I never thought that I would get selected as top 50 because there were a lot of damn good players from the Dolphins through the years. And I was just like so humbled that I was selected to get on that team. And that was really cool.
We had a lot of fun.
Juice, let me show you something. Are you guys done with the 2 minutes?
Time out.
We got two more. Okay, we're calling a timeout. All right, we're calling a timeout. Yeah.
I don't know if you can see it or not.
Oh yeah.
Look at that.
Can you see it or not?
Oh, yeah.
Who put Joe Rogan? Look at that. It's got the OJ McDuffie autograph. Oh, that is great.
That is dope.
That is, how cool is that?
The names on that thing.
Number 11 out of 250.
Look at that.
Yes, there's a glare, isn't there?
I want to know how Joe Rose got on that poster.
He got the first one.
Oh, of course.
I think he made the poster.
First touchdown, right?
All right, we got two more questions, so the clock will be rolling again.
All right, Crash. As Big Seven said before, you played damn near every position in football. What is more difficult, throwing a touchdown pass, catching a touchdown pass, running for a touchdown, or covering a kickoff?
I'd say catching one. I mean, that's another story I have. I didn't get to tell you. Timeout.
Another timeout. You got it. Apparently we do need
a
timeout.
Yeah, we're good.
This is not the 1 minute drill. It's the 2 minute drill. So you're good.
We had a triple tight end on the goal line, and there was a little mix up with the where Bruce Hardy was supposed to line up and Joe Rose was supposed to line up. So we made the adjustment. And I ran out in the flat, and I caught my first touchdown ever. I come back to the sideline. I had the ball still. And Coach Shula says, "Don't you know what the fuck you're doing?" I said, "Coach, there was a mix-up. We made the adjustment, and I got the ball right here, Coach. It's a touchdown."
Right. Still, he was still pissed, huh?
He said, "Oh, F you." He said that. He said, "Oh, fuck you."
There you go.
So I saw Duper and Clayton right behind them, and they both went whoop. They were both gone because I said, "Oh, fuck you too."
That's my favorite thing. Oh, that was it. Crash had the response.
Yeah.
Every time I hear these stories, when Shula comes walking over to talk to somebody on the sidelines, everybody else runs away. Joe Rose tells a story where he got chewed. He was sitting next to Nat and Jimmy on the bench, and they were consoling him because he got chewed out for something. And Shula came back for more, walked over to him on the bench, and Nat and Jimmy they both took off and did the same move. So that seems to be the smart move. All right, we got too funny. All right, last question. Here we go.
Okay.
Clock's going to run. We're going to score a touchdown here. The Miami Dolphins are famous for some great nicknames for their players. The current roster has the Cheetah. We have the Penguin. We have the Astronaut. You played with Super Duper. We have Juice right here. What is the greatest nickname in team history?
In team history? Ooh, that's a good question. I say Crash.
There it is.
That's the 2 minute drill. I love it. Oh, man. I love it. Jim, this was amazing. I appreciate you coming inside from the cold weather because it seems like you want to be out in the cold.
Right.
I love it. Great stuff. Thank you so much, man.
Crash, thanks for diving in, man. I love you, bro.
Love you too. You're the best, man.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Just like Juice said, thanks for diving into the fish tank presented by iHeartRadio. Be sure to follow us on whatever streaming platform you're using, and don't be afraid to rate the show or leave us a comment. We love your feedback. And remember, you can find us as well as Drive Time with Travis Wingfield and all of our international partners on MiamiDolphins.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.